Recorded Books presents Aeon Rising by Matthew Mather. This book was read for you by Ray Porter, a member of SAG-AFTRA. The gods will come to us in forms we recognize. Dina Metzger. Neutrino. A subatomic particle that rarely reacts with normal matter. A supernova is predominantly a neutrino phenomenon. Prologue. Ice Cube Neutrino Experiment, Amundsen Station, South Pole, Antarctica. January 3rd, 11:52 a.m., New Zealand time.
That can't be right.
Dr. Jinru rechecked the data logs.
Dag, could you reboot the AI?
Thousands of detectors embedded in the cubic kilometers of ice beneath their feet had just lit up, which was impossible. Even on lucky days, only a few detectors would sparkle to signal the passage of a ghostly particle. The IT team had just upgraded the system with a new monitoring app. Shin bet it was something to do with that. Had to be a software glitch. The Norwegian IT manager's clear blue eyes, earnest grin, and stubbled chin appeared from under a desk. He was a tall, well-muscled man who looked like he'd been asked to win 3 rounds in a boxing match. On hands and knees, he inspected the network cables.
I'm on it. Could be the wiring. Might have been the Bolo who set this up.
She stole a glance at Dag's backside as he bent over. When he shifted positions, she pretended to be staring out the window to inspect the fronds of hoarfrost growing on an antenna outside. It was minus 32 Celsius out there, about average for midsummer. The sun hovered low in a cobalt sky over the bright Antarctic ice. The closest of the other scientific structures near the Ice Cube facility was the dome of the new South Pole Telescope, beside the BICEP extragalactic cosmic radiation detector, both about 100 meters away toward the ice runway. A C-130 Hercules was in the process of landing on its skis. The lumbering aircraft bounced off the ice in a puff of feathery snow. Resupply missions came in daily from America's McMurdo Station on the coast, 1,500 kilometers away over the Transantarctic Mountains. Another 4,000 passed the emptiness of the Southern Ocean to reach New Zealand. This place was as isolated as you could get without traveling to Mars, and about the same temperature.
Anything yet?
Shin asked Dag. The man was out from under the tables and in front of a monitor.
Still gumbled as far as I can reckon.
She guessed that meant no. Shin checked her phone. Just before noon, New Zealand time. 4 hours back meant 8 a.m. at home. No fiber optic lines connected Amundsen Station to the world. The only comms in and out were via satellites, which were only in range a few hours a day. One was now. She dialed her mother's number. Before the first ring finished, her son's face appeared on her screen, his face beaming with a wide, gap-toothed grin.
My tooth came out,
Bing Wen said in Guangdong speech. Shin laughed.
Did you bury it?
She replied in English.
Under bed.
He replied haltingly, switching languages.
And I hope I have a mouse. The tooth of a mouse,
Shin corrected.
You hope you have the tooth of a mouse.
A month since she left. Felt like a year. She wouldn't be able to hold her 6-year-old until he was halfway into his 7th turn around the sun. Shin and her husband had separated 2 years before. Not divorced. Not yet. And she'd had to leave Bing Wen with her parents. She couldn't stand being so far away from her little dragon, but sacrifices had to be made. Seeing his face tore at her. The image on the screen rolled around to Shin's mother. They traded greetings in plain speech before switching back to English. Shin insisted on it. The future might be Chinese, but English in scientific exchange wasn't going away anytime soon. Languages were a window into the wider world, and she wanted Bing's to be as big as possible.
How is father?
Shin glanced at Dag.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?